SquareX helps organizations detect, mitigate, and threat hunt web attacks happening against their users in real time. With its innovative browser-native security product, SquareX safeguards enterprise users from a spectrum of web-based threats, encompassing malicious files, websites, scripts, and compromised networks. Learn more at sqrx.com. At AT&T, we simplify securing your most valuable business assets by providing broad cybersecurity experience and award-winning services. We manage the risk, you reap the reward. Learn more at cybersecurity.att.com.
Marco.
Sean.
There's something behind you.
I'm not falling for that.
No, really, I think there is.
There is something. Yeah, honestly, gotta be something.
That's right.
There Are you trying to deceive me?
I'm trying to get you to look at something else.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
Funny story. Magicians do that, too.
They do.
Yeah.
Magicians
are
great at
that. One time they got my watch. I didn't even realize that.
Yeah? Until you looked at the time and said, ah.
Until they asked me and I looked like a fool. That's what happened.
Nice one. Yep. Sleight of hand, a little bump here, a little, hey, look over there. Mm-hmm. It's a tried and true technique to get people to do something that then you can use against them somehow, some way. Yep. And of course, I'm not even coming close to providing a proper definition of what our topic is today. So this is part of our chats on the road, obviously, Marco, to RSA Conference. And our two guests have quite the journey to get to San Francisco for their talk, which is called Deception is on the Rise, but is it time to unleash engagement operations? And I'm thrilled to have Andre and Jan on. How are you guys? Good to see you.
Hey, how you doing?
Very good.
Hi.
And first off, congratulations on getting accepted as speakers at the conference. So many submissions, it's not an easy task. So well done on that. And it's an interesting topic as well. And I think certainly it plays heavily in the cyber world, but as we were kind of joking at the beginning, it's part of everyday life, right?
Right.
So there's a lot we can learn from just being human as we look at what we can do with technology. So before we get into the topic of deception, don't deceive us now. Give us the full true story, a little bit about Andre and Jan and what you guys are up to. Andre, I'll start with you.
Yeah. Yeah. So, as far as cyber deception and our speech at RSA, what to say? I guess that now the people know about cyber deception, everything they need. Yeah. But I can say that it's all about trying to make false assets or things to be believed that are true. Yeah, and it comes from ancient history, and it's nothing new, but some guys bring us theory that it's possible to use it in cyber, and they create a lot of interesting books and methodologies how to use it, and then we came and tried it. Yeah, just simply.
So when I go back to Andre, right? Because always when we are giving the talk, like we are starting, like we introduce each other. And so when you say Sean, like Andre start, he was like, what should I do? So
introduce each other.
yeah, because I have to always say that he's the greatest and smartest and so on, because he's my boss. But Andre, he's like he's CISO in our company, and he's taking the care of us, the small guys, and he's also what he called like chief deception officer. And it's actually didn't start with the cybersecurity, but with his character, because he is lying all the time, you know.
Yeah,
I'm just deceiving.
We started with deception, yeah. Yeah, not introduce ourselves, just tell what are we talking about, and you have to find us. Yeah, just kidding. Yeah, no, Jan is kidding at all. our job is at a state company which offers cybersecurity and data centers for the state, and we are state cloud provider. And this is the main reason why we trying to use any advanced techniques in defense. Yeah, and I'm his boss, and he's my greatest colleague and right hand. Yeah, he's a technical guy. I am, you know, CISO.
You get to wear all the weight on your shoulders.
Well, I like the idea that you get on and start confusing people. So, you know,
exactly.
So that's a good start. The other good start, if we can, as you start going there, like what is the definition of deception? And then we can go into how we apply that. I mean, we were joking about the magician. We can joke about a lot of things, like it can be applied to news, to a lot of different things, but at the core.
I will say like the shortest one is that deception is act of causing someone to accept as true or valid something what is false or invalid. So anything what is actually not true, it's actually deception. But we are that deception or concept of deception in cybersecurity is much wider than this. But I will say this is the short and very, very good line, how to say or how to describe the deception.
Yeah, nowadays you can find a lot of definitions in studies and in the websites and in the vendors' websites about their products. Yeah, which starts our solution best for deception because, yeah, and the short one is great one, as Jan said.
So help me understand how and where this fits into a security program. So we have presumably a team, either insourced or outsourced, looking at activities, and we're looking for signs that somebody's come through our external defenses or whatever. What does it fit into the monitoring, or does it go beyond that? Maybe describe that for me. I don't know, Jan.
Yeah, well, you see, we are going much deeper in our talk in this, especially this question. But deception was perceived like honeypots, honey something, and we think like employing just these parts of defense, we are going to where we are right now. So we are still going to that reactive part. We're still waiting for the honeypot to somebody visit the honeypot. Okay, we get something. And we want to be more active. And this is about like, we are more than that. And that's already the engagement. But when I go to the deception, we first thought, when we first find the deception in 2018 or something like that, we thought it will solve all our problems. So like, yeah, we just set up some honeypot here, some shadow account there, and we are set. But it's not like that. It's not easy like that. It's have to be always part of that layered security, layered defense, and then it can work. And we see that big help with deception is like in cyber threat intelligence to get the data information you need for the next process stuff in the cybersecurity or in detection engineering. Like where you have high false positive ratios, you can use the deception to fit that gap or stuff like that. So it's like we are seeing the deception as part of some process, which is already in cybersecurity widely used.
Yeah, how to say anything more? Yeah, just maybe some advice when to start using these things. Yeah, Jan mentioned the honeypots. It's about 20, 30 years old technology, which helps us to collecting data. But you need some process how to use it. Even it's just simple honeypot, which shows us any vulnerabilities, especially for special for some attack vector or something like that. You need the story. So my first advice is start with deception, and or maybe we can move to active cyber defense at all, because Jan started with it. When you are ready with your SOC, at least at some maturity, you have implemented some processes for detection engineering. You have a good visibility and gaining data from all log sources, almost, or what you need. Yeah, this is the sometime you need to consider, can I do something more?
Mm-hmm. So here is a question. I mean, we started with a joke of the, I mean, the joke, it's true. I mean, that's how magicians get people to fall into tricks. So it's very much psychology. And I'm wondering, like, when people think about the honeypot, you think about, in cybersecurity, think about the technology part of it. But then I start thinking about social engineering and how you reverse that probably, and that's part of the program. It's part of preparing way ahead of the game before the technology maybe even come into play. So what is the balance there, and how early it's early enough?
That's very hard to say. This is like when we you need that some kind of maturity. It's not for like for some start teams, but you need a good scenario. You know, like when you come home from the pub and you will say, "I had only one beer." It have to look like you had only one beer. Okay. You cannot just like, you know, be totally like smashed. And so it's about that. And you said it right. It's like it's about the psychology. Mm-hmm. It's not actually the deception and active cyber defense is no more about technical stuff. No. You always can get some technical stuff. You always can program some things. You always can make application. But it was about psychology and about the state of your mind. So you need the scenario. And to have somewhere honeypot, it's a cool thing. You can get some information probably, but it's not something what will work against some advanced adversary.
And it's still just the part of the story. Yeah, mm-hmm. you have to start with why or what is coming soon. Yeah, you need some CTI. Yeah, to evaluate what is important for you, what is happening, what techniques or tactics or APTs are around, yeah, and who trying to get to your infrastructure, if I can make it simpler, yeah, to explain, yeah, and then you have to create the story, and maybe the psyops might be the part of it, yeah, of course. And once you know what is happening around, and then you know what you have in your armory, what is your tradecraft, you can start to prepare for home alone evening, yeah, and setting the traps. Yeah,
and that's basically what we are talking about in our talk, like because we were battling always with these talks about just one thing. Okay, so we watched the talk which was about honeypots, about shadow accounts, about influence operations, about always it was only one topic, and in our talk we are trying to put that in the process from the start to the end. Like you starting with the threat intelligence, with the use of decision in the threat intelligence, and you end up with some validation of your steps you make on the road to that to the perfection.
Yeah, and
those steps are filled with the use of active cyber defense elements like deception, like using honeypots, shadow accounts, etc.
Yeah, we will show in our speech. Yeah, what are the parts of the things we can do, because we have to understand that there are things we can do, because we are not state agency like FBI and or Kurds who can order, just take this botnet down, yeah, and please use these forces for this. So there is a group of things we can do, yeah, and you can do it separately and you're doing good. But if you think about it and you will connect it in the process, yeah, where are inputs and outputs of each step, you'll get, you know, something which brings you some value and helps you to have numbers. Yeah, you know, for management, you have numbers. Yeah, about efficiency, about money, of course. Yeah, so that's why our basic stone or is the process, and we created it 2 years or 3 years ago, but we started 7 years ago. Yeah, it took 3-4 years to create it. Yeah,
nice. And you're gonna do a whole case study during your talk, and you mentioned creating the story, and don't give away any secrets, but how does that work? Because I guess to your point, Jan, if a police officer is asking you, are you drunk? And you say, I only had one beer. And they ask you, well, can you touch your nose? And you say, I only had one beer. And they say, can you repeat the alphabet? And you say, I only had one beer. If it's the same response over and over and over, they're going to realize,
yeah,
you're not doing very well engaging in that conversation. So one can predict what that exchange might be with the police mm-hmm. officer. Similarly, one might expect what the exchange might be in our tech stack, right? If somebody reaches this point, then they might want to use something from that and move here or do some reconnaissance to. And so I don't know, do you use tools like MITRE or other things like that to kind of help paint the story of how the attackers might move? And to your point, Andre, that with the cyber threat intelligence data to say, we know they move this way and this is how our organization looks. So I don't know. Don't give too much away, but how does that work?
But you will understand once you will see our speech, of course. Yeah, but we can say we can say we use all known methodologies, frameworks around. Yeah, MITRE is very good and very far. Their things are you know, it took 3 or 4 years to get to public or to be accepted by public for MITRE ATT&CK. Yeah, and now they have some things like Engage, which exists for 2 years, but I don't know how the people works with it. They started with Defend, but it's step before Engage. Yeah. So we will see how it will goes, and we can say that we use it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we are. We love things from MITRE.
Yeah.
I just picked that one out of the air. Wasn't
yeah, but there is much more open source tools and stuff we are using like in that process. But MITRE is pretty good example of complex framework or complex thing we are like to use, because they look visually good. You know, like you can connect the points.
Yeah, and it makes sense, and it's very complex, and we guess that it needs sometimes, to understand all their concept, and they will go out with new things which will make or show their story behind. Yeah, so it's very, very good, and it's much more better than any commercial solutions for this. Yeah, you will buy any box with their processes, but it's this is a general and universal to use.
Yeah, but we are like, as Andre said, we are using a lot of engage, which is formal shield, I think, right? And the defend is pretty cool as well. So this is like, this is really like three most used things we have in our armor. Otherwise, there is like some just tools which are need for the reporting documentation and stuff. But methodically, we create something our own to get through some our loop. We call it a active cyber defense loop, which are going through. It has six steps, and we are going to each documenting and stuff, and you know.
But there is another things which helps us with detection engineering, yeah, and it's open to anybody can use it, but I guess they doesn't, yeah, and it's a ADC from SpectroOps.
Oh, Palantir.
Or Palantir, so sorry, yeah. So it's 10 points. We maybe enriched it. But it has 12 and it works great. And our detection engineering is based on it. And we can recommend it to companies or to technical guys to consider it.
All right. Well, sounds interesting. And I like the idea that you can have a lot of tools, but you know, gotta use the one that are right for you and create your own system according to what you do in terms of your business, your what you have to defend. You can't just say, "Yep, I just got this honeypot and I'm good." it doesn't work like that. Yeah, that makes sense. Well, Sean, I think it's a good, it's a very exciting conversation. I will tell you that I will not go. See it? But I will.
Yeah, but you'll be there. You're not going to go, but you'll be there. Well, if you want to not go and be there still, it's Wednesday, May 8th at 1:15 local time in San Francisco, of course. And yeah, Andre and Jan will be there giving their case study. So as you probably glean from this conversation, these guys can get down into the nitty-gritty of what's going on there. And guess what? You're in luck. There's a birds of a feather where you can actually get into some of those details with him. It's called Time to Talk About Cyber Counterintelligence. That's Thursday, May 9th at 10:50 in the morning. And so two opportunities, one to hear him speak, maybe catch a few minutes with him after, and then a chance to sit down with them and others interested in this topic and go deeper. Clearly, you guys know what you're talking about. So it's as you got accepted. I mean, not an easy feat, as I mentioned at the beginning, right? So congratulations on that. Wish you safe travels from the Czech Republic. Mm-hmm. And look forward to meeting you in person and catching the talk and maybe grabbing a feather from the birds of a feather.
Well, you know, I mean, like you said, they come a long way, and I think it will be a great opportunity to see a presentation that hasn't happened yet and hear different perspectives. So I would not be there, so don't. I'm not going to see you there.
Right on. All right, thank you, gentlemen, and everybody listening. Thank you for catching this episode of our On Location Chats on the Road to RSA Conference. Lots and lots. I think, I don't know what we've done thus far. We have as much more to do in the next 2 weeks. So as many conversations as we've had, that many again. Over the next couple of weeks are coming.
Many that we will not have.
And many that we won't have. You won't hear them.
That's right.
I got to stop. That's the one. This is going to be my ongoing thing.
I have a feeling you're going to carry it through to the other conversations today too.
Great. Thank you. Thank you very much.
All right. Thanks, everybody. Subscribe. Stay tuned. We'll see you in San Francisco.
Thanks.
See you then.
At AT&T, we simplify securing your most valuable business assets by providing broad cybersecurity experience and award-winning services. We manage the risk, you reap the reward. Learn more at cybersecurity.att.com. Square X helps organizations detect, mitigate, and threat hunt web attacks happening against their users in real time. With its innovative browser-native security product, SquareX safeguards enterprise users from a spectrum of web-based threats, encompassing malicious files, websites, scripts, and compromised networks. Learn more at sqrx.com.